This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is the Legal Hour with our good friend Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck Law, and look forward to these shows every other week with Kevin. We try to cover a lot of different things in the legal realm and, of course, all the things that Kevin's office handles, which is quite a bit. But today we're going to be discussing a little bit about personal injury. And first of all, Kevin, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's exciting to be back.
Man, I tell you, this year has just flown. It's hard to believe. Everybody's on Thanksgiving, Christmas decorations up. Wow.
I got a little lunch just before we got coming over here, and the restaurant had Christmas music on. And I was like, holy cow. It was actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
And I haven't, you know, this is the first time I'd actually heard it,
right,
like in a commercial environment. But I guess there are folks that think Christmas needs to be here at this point. I'm ready for Turkey Day. I'm ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
But it is what it is.
Yep. Again, it's Legal Hour. We'll open up the phone lines. If you got any kind of legal question for Kevin, 303-477-5600. We will take your calls and be glad to help you in any way we can. But so, Kevin, let's start out. You know, we're in such a do-it-yourself society. It doesn't matter what, whether you're working on your car, your house, everything's a hunting like we do it yourself. But
try to get it done on your own.
Yeah, but you get into the legal, or I tell people, legal or medical realm.
Yes.
It's not something I want to do on my own.
Not doing a surgery.
And trying to represent yourself in anything legal is generally a mistake.
It is. I mean, I'll give you an example. Today I was in Littleton in Arapahoe County. I had a individual who came into my office. His wife, he and his wife are going to go through a divorce, I think. And wife had brought a civil restraining order against him last week, essentially as a move to get him out of the house because she wants to stay in the house while the divorce is going on. And so we're having this discussion, and here's an example of where I could tell. First of all, I'm there with him. I'm representing him. And so she immediately thinks that I have some advantage, which I do because I've trained legally. But she also is emphatic about what she wants to do. But she doesn't understand the process. So I try to help her with that, try to explain to her, listen, I'm representing him, but this is probably the best way we need to go. We need to keep your interests in mind, but we need to handle the case today like this. And I think the judge will do this. And if you push it to hearing, I think you'll lose. And this is why. And she just would not listen. And a lot of people get into that situation because they get put off by the system itself because it is, number one, it's cumbersome. Number two, it's slow. And number three, it's just you don't know the words. You don't get what the process is. And people begin to feel self-conscious and not very self-confident. And they cause problems for themselves. Luckily, so this morning, the judge came out and I explained what the situation was. And the judge said to the pro se, you're representing yourself, you know, ma'am, we can go forward today, but the evidence that you've provided me in written documents, I don't think I would be able to give you what you want. So you may want to listen to what opposing counsel is saying to continue this so that you two can figure out what to do. And luckily that happens. But what I find is that the way that I practice a lot of times and being understanding of the other side when they're representing themselves is not the norm.
Right.
You know? So you'll get a defense lawyer that's representing an insurance company and you're representing yourself. They'll do anything they can to stop the process so you get nothing. And I see it happen over and over again where people decide that they can file a lawsuit and try to pursue it themselves because they want to save some money. In the end, they don't get anything because they mess it up or they bring the claim in the wrong court so there's the jurisdiction isn't enough. I just helped somebody recently with a case that they thought they could file suit in county court because it's simplified procedure. Turned out their case was probably worth $100,000, but they're in a jurisdiction that they can only get 25. And so we had a discussion with, do you really want to do that? I mean, I understand what my fee is. It's a third of whatever I can recover. But right now you're going to get less even if you win the entirety of the thing. And And are you sure? And the problem is that sometimes people do things that you can't unwind. Like in this case, luckily we were able to unwind the judgment and unwind what they did. But if you're in the process and the other side objects and you have a court that says, listen, plaintiff, the person that was hurt, you decided what venue you wanted to be in and what jurisdiction you wanted to be in. You chose that, and that's where you have to stay. Then you're stuck. Sure. And that's where people need to, like we talk, on a regular basis, give us a call. It's mm-hmm. a free consultation and figure out what it is that you don't know so that you understand where you're going. And most of the time we can help people. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you talk about doing things you can't unwind. And one of the top things you can't unwind is what you say.
Yes.
So when we talk about representing yourself, isn't that one of the probably top mistakes?
It is the
people don't realize what they said.
Yeah. And I'll give you another example of where it happens a lot is in Denver. And it's not relating to a personal injury case, but it's related to criminal cases. In Denver, the police have a really good habit of you have a hit-and-run vehicle. They know what the vehicle is that caused the accident, mm-hmm. but they don't know who is driving. And so what they do is they find the vehicle within the city and county of Denver, and then they impound it, or they put it in, you know, they put the boot on it so that you can't move it, and then you're supposed to call them. And they basically hold your car hostage so that you have to go into the station. And then most people tell them who was driving the vehicle when the accident happened, but you don't need to. And right. and if they are doing that, it very well could be that they don't know who the driver is and that you've just given them that evidence relating to the hit and run driver where they wouldn't have been able to prove it otherwise. And so it's those sorts of things that you can't unwind that information mm-hmm. because then it's in a report, the police officer will talk about it, and you cause yourself or someone else a great deal of trouble when you maybe didn't need to.
Right.
And so those are the sorts of things where we can help in diagnosing what it is that you have an obligation to do and what are situations where you don't. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to always speak to the police. You certainly have to give your identification, tell them who you are, that sort of basic information.
Right.
But beyond that, you don't have to make any further statements.
Right. And, you know, when we're talking about especially things with personal injury or settlements, a lot of times people may think, oh, well, that sounds like a pretty fair number. But yet, in reality, there was more left maybe on a policy.
Yep.
And so you may accept something that cheats you out of some money.
Yeah. So what I see a lot of times happening is people think about what they have out of pocket relating to their medical expenses, and they think that's the total amount that they can get for their medical expenses. So, for example, if you have a health insurance policy that, let's say it's an 80-20 policy, so the health insurance covers 80%, you pay 20%. And let's say you have a significant injury and you have to pay $5,000 in your medical expenses over the course of a year, and so you make a demand to the insurance company for that $5,000 back. Mm-hmm. But in reality, and they gladly pay you and also have you sign a general release relating to that, right? And so that person seems to think that they did a pretty good job. The trouble is that you may have had $50,000 or, at least $50,000. If it's an 80-20 policy,
sure.
You probably had almost $100,000. Could be up to that, where you could have been making a claim for a much larger amount relating to your injuries, but you've taken $5,000 to resolve it, where you may have been able to get $70,000 in your pocket,
right.
Depending upon your injuries and what the medical expenses were. So those sorts of things are the things that people don't recognize. Colorado is one of those unusual states where the amount that is billed for your health insurance to your health insurance for medical expenses is generally speaking found to be the reasonable amount of medical services. And so even though that health insurer may have an agreement with the provider for those services that to pay 30% of the bill or 40% of the bill, we get to use that full amount. And it makes a difference when we settle the cases. Most individuals who are representing themselves don't know that. And
right.
so they may provide the insurance company the amount that the insurance company has paid versus what was billed, and they minimize their case because of it. And that's sort of the value that we mm-hmm. can help people with in going through the process of trying to resolve cases. And it's not anything shady. It's not anything that's right in the law.
Sure.
It's related to what reasonable medical expenses are. And then another legal theory called collateral source rules that discuss the fact that there are so many different ways that health insurance is paid, and there are so many different agreements that health insurers make with medical providers, that the Colorado Supreme Court has said the amount billed is the reasonable amount, and everything after that as to what's paid isn't actually something that the defense gets mm-hmm. to know about, and they're not entitled to it because every one of those insurance companies have a different way of dealing with that and a different agreement with those providers. And so as complex as our health insurance and healthcare system is, there are some situations where it's beneficial to get a lawyer right away because we can help in that process.
Sure. And even understanding all the different maybe policies and where you can maybe go after some money on different insurance policies too. That, yeah, you might have got the limit on one, but are there other policies or other different things you could go after?
That's exactly right, especially on the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverages. So let's say you get in a horrific accident and the at-fault party has the minimum limits, the $25,000 limits within the state. Now you've got to find out if there's a different owner of the vehicle versus a driver of the vehicle. And then if you really are talking about an underinsured motorist situation, we then discuss about, well, who are you living with? Are there other family members in the household? Because relating to Colorado policies, we're able to attach to those policies as well. And so it's always good to know what those policy limits are and whether or not they're stackable or not so that you can determine some of those additional pots of money in the event that you have the ability to get to those if your injuries are bad enough that you'll need to do that. And so those are the sorts of things that we really help people on, sort of the back end relating to settling the case. The front end of the case as well, we're talking about, okay, what resources do you have to pay for your medical as you go along? How do you use your med pay if you have med pay relating to your car insurance? And where do you use that med pay versus your health insurance? Those are all questions and answers that we give people to really think about in managing their care and managing who's paying for it, because it makes a difference over time.
Sure. And, you know, if you don't think about it or don't listen to this show, you may think you're okay for a couple of days and you don't treat for a while. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks, which is usually a few days, but a few weeks later, you start feeling something. But now you've put off that treatment for a couple of weeks, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but it still puts a question in their mind. Well, why didn't you go right then?
It does. And certainly the idea is that the insurance companies believe that they can make an argument to a jury that if you're really hurt, you're going to go to the doctor immediately. And most people would say that's true. But although if you also articulate the fact, especially back injuries, whiplash, those sorts of things, they normally don't come on until the third day after an accident. So you have to have some education with the jury to have them understand that situation. And then if you wait even longer than that, there's a lot of times reasons for that. Maybe financially you can't afford it. You haven't gotten to a doctor, or your work schedule is such that you don't want to take off of work because you've got all these other things. You know, there's lots of nuances relating to that. But what it means if you don't get treatment right away is you're now arguing about trying to get back to that sort of stage one of credibility as to why these injuries were so bad, but you didn't get treatment. And it just minimizes the value of your case. You just don't want to do it. And that's where we help people, is to make sure they understand that. And when we first meet with clients, I kind of go through it. We talk about, you know, making sure they have a diary, that they keep track of things, because that'll help them later. Most of us don't remember what happened 6 months ago relating to their injuries. And then also we talk about reasonable medical care, making sure that they get that taken care of so that they can move forward with their life to begin with, so that they're better faster. But secondarily, they can show what it is that has happened to them because of the accident.
Right. It's Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. Again, our lines are open, 303-477-5600. If you've got a legal question for Kevin, we'll take your call. We'll be right back.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
David R. Cishan, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishan of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. It's the Legal Hour. If you're just joining us, Kevin Flesh is here. Again, if you've got any kind of legal question, 303-477-5600. So, Kevin, real quick, before we get back into our topic here, something popped up here from our Sportsman of Colorado world. It looked like the Supreme Court gave the Sandy Hook
The victims there, of Sandy Hook,
a chance to sue Remington, the manufacturer.
So what had happened, I briefly have been watching this case. So the Sandy Hook victims had sued Remington because that was the weapon that was used in that particular shooting. And there was a federal law that was passed relating to minimizing the potential for gun manufacturers to be held responsible for these mass shootings, with a couple of exceptions. And one of the exceptions is marketing of those weapons in a way that makes the individuals who are susceptible to doing these sorts of acts more likely to buy that weapon. And that's basically, so what the Supreme Court did, so the Supreme Court looked at the law that was passed by Congress, and all the other claims were dismissed and continue to be, but the issue relating to the marketing by Remington as to this particular shooter is still going to be allowed to go forward. So at first you're listening to it, and we were talking off air about, well, you know, car crashes, if somebody's going 120 miles an hour in a Corvette and causes a crash, now Corvette's going to be responsible for their driving?
Right.
Because it's the same it's the same concept. Or, or you know, eating chocolate and gaining 10 pounds, now you can sue the chocolate.
Hershey.
Yeah, sue Hershey. It is an interesting process, and it is an interesting argument. But I think where the victims of this shooting are going to fall down is I don't know if they'll be able to connect the dots. Number one, I don't know that there's actually any marketing out there that can be argued that that's what Remington is doing relating to to this particular weapon. But secondarily, they've got to connect the dots to this particular shooter to show that marketing, first of all, that he ever saw it or ever had any relation to it, and then that it caused him to do what he did. Mm-hmm. So the Supreme Court is allowing them to go forward in that very narrow window. It is going to be interesting to see where they go with it, because you can't make up facts, and those facts have to be there. And obviously, the shooter isn't here to give us an opinion about what has taken place. So, I doubt that it's going to go anywhere. But the Supreme Court, and you know, you get these funky legal rulings sometimes that you think are sort of not right from the Supreme Court when they actually are reading a document literally. They don't always do that relating to the Constitution, but in this case, they are doing it relating to what the law said that Congress passed, I think, in 2003 or 2004. And so that's the whole idea, is that they're not a plaintiff isn't completely unable to go after, but there's very narrow windows of issues that they can raise to try to suggest that they're liable. So it'll be interesting to watch. Because I think it's still going to be very difficult to connect the dots.
Right. And the other, I don't know if you saw the Channel 9 story, where they went undercover to some gun stores about these, the magazines.
Yes.
And stuff. And you can, you know, manipulate.
Yes.
These two, and they've been on sale the whole time.
Exactly.
But now it looks like, I saw one report this morning where it said, you know, it looks like Polis is going to look at that.
Yeah.
And
my guess is somebody's going to come in and try to reduce that ability to get those magazines.
Right.
And I mean, we've still, you know, as advocates for not having that restriction, we haven't done a very good job in trying to repeal that and trying to get that changed.
Well, and what I think some people don't understand, because I've had people, they say, well, when did you buy it? Well, I mean, there's nothing stamped.
No, there isn't.
On this, well, your date of purchase.
Right.
So there's no way to track it.
There really
had it or didn't.
I haven't seen any cases that actually anyone's been prosecuted for it. Completely agree with you. So that was 2013, I think, that the law came into effect, and we had a flurry of activity relating to putting these magazines into some sort of gun trusts and that sort of thing. That time has sort of passed, though, because individuals who had possession of them now can't give them to someone else because they have to get rid of them. You just have to continue to possess them however you possess them prior to the law that was in place. And it is interesting because we now have these we now know that there are additional magazines out there that have been selling in the state since that time period that certainly call into question whether or not they're above the number of cartridges for the magazine.
Right.
So, but I agree with you that there's really no way to trace back when, number one, when the person had possession, whether it was before 2013 or not, and when they were manufactured.
Right.
So it's a law that makes it very difficult for anyone to actually enforce it.
Right. All right.
But it's, you know,
it's
another, yeah, it is. But it's another tool. You know, we always talk about this in the way of prosecuting cases, that it's another tool in the tool belt of a police officer to make determinations about whether there's a law violation or not. It's just one of those, another tool that they can use in the event that the particular situation comes forward that they can prove that the person had possession after that and they're against the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. We're talking about personal injury here a little bit and really just representing yourself in any kind of legal thing, but it was leaning more to personal injury side here. One thing you got to remember is when you're talking to that at-fault insurance adjuster, they're not your friend.
They're not
there to advocate for you, although the conversation may seem very friendly. So getting back to our first thing, being careful what you say.
Yes.
They're going to try to get you into some conversations, right?
They're trained to be very folksy to begin with. They're going to be trained to try to get as much information out of you as possible and in a manner that you seem comfortable, and normally people that feel comfortable say more than they should. And so that's how they're going to do that relating to life. Remember, there's three aspects of a case that you have to be concerned about. You have to be concerned about liability. Who's at fault, who caused the injury, so the cause relating to what took place relating to the liability, and then how that cause injured you. Those are the three things that you have to cover in proving a personal injury case. Well, the claims reps early on are doing due diligence so that they can get you on record about how you're feeling, what your injuries are, you know, how the accident happened, try to get you to admit that maybe it's partially your fault. All of those sorts of things that you don't really think about in a normal conversation, especially people that take responsibility for what happens.
Right.
Normally, folks that are pretty positive about themselves will try to minimize the amount that they hurt. They'll also normally take responsibility for what happened. And so a lot of times people don't recognize when the claims rep is asking you about, you know, well, what do you think they could have done differently, or ask you sort of, you know, when did you stop beating your wife sort of questions, you know, that they're already setting the table for them trying to deny coverage. And so those are the things that most people don't think about. They think that they're just having a conversation. And most people don't realize that they're being recorded. When you do a recorded statement, they specifically have to ask you whether or not you're willing to be recorded. A lot of people forget about that. Or in the case where you've been seriously injured, you're on painkillers and are not at your best.
Right.
And you make statements because of your impairment that you probably wouldn't have made otherwise. And so those are the sorts of things that we can help with if you come to us early on to sort of set the brakes a little bit and say, you're not ready for this. We need to spend some more time, or we need to know more about what took place to do our own due diligence before we start talking to the other side. But that's not how people want to operate. They see all the commercials relating to the insurance. Some of them are funny, some of them are fun, and they think that, well, even though it's on the other side, that they have some sort of obligation to be fair to them, and it's just not the case.
And like I say, they are skilled and trained to talk to you and to try to settle this for as little as possible.
Correct. And that's exactly what they'll do. They'll do that every time they get the opportunity, because that's, I mean, their business is just like any other. And the way that they make money is they get premiums in and they try to pay out as little of those premiums and then keep keep the remainder. And that's the whole idea with risk sharing, and that's what insurance is.
Right. And we've talked about this before, but knowing your coverages and knowing what you have and looking at that from time to time, because things may change in the home, things may change the value of your assets, whatever, but the med pay is one of the simple things.
Yes.
That you can control.
Yes, very much so. And certainly, even if you have health insurance, I'm an advocate that you suggest talking with your insurance agent on a regular basis. Try to, the areas of coverage that you want to get as much as possible under the law for would be med pay and underinsured uninsured motorist coverage. And relating to the underinsured uninsured motorist coverage, in the event that you have multiple vehicles, my suggestion is get the maximum amount you can afford and make sure that those vehicles are on separate policies so that you then can stack those policies later in the event that something happens. In Colorado, we've talked about this before, there's 25 to 35% of the drivers that either don't have insurance or have minimum limits. And so you get into a car accident where you have any significant injury in the sense that you go to an ER, you have a head injury, or you have some sort of broken bone, you know, your ER bill with all of those things are going to be at a minimum $10,000, maybe $12,000. If someone has $25,000 worth of limits, you've just eaten those limits up. And so you want to make sure that you protect yourself with your own limits, and that's the underinsured, uninsured motorist and the med pay. Mm-hmm. And you want to have conversations with your agent about, you know, getting as much liability coverage, so that's coverage for other people, and as much coverage for yourself relating to the UM/UIM and the med pay.
Right. Now, this time of year, we're going to start seeing ice, snow, all that.
Yes.
When you get multiple vehicles that are involved in these accidents, man, what a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
What a nightmare for you to try to figure out.
They are. And those are the cases that historically for our firm we've seen go to trial, because everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, especially where you have the vehicle in front. The front vehicle caused the person and vehicles behind them to stop suddenly, and then you have this chain reaction. Because then there's always the argument as where were the people following too closely? Was it the front or the back or somewhere in the middle?
Sure.
And it's super hard. And all of the insurance companies are very good at about pointing fingers at someone else that someone else covers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're especially, those cases are especially difficult for individuals to represent themselves, because they kind of get chewed up and spit out relating to the liability side.
Right.
Because of contributory negligence and because of attributing fault to all those different parties.
Right. Now, going back to that med pay real quick, that is, so to speak, kind of free money to you.
It is.
It's not involved in your settlement or anything like that.
That's right. Yeah. So the med pay is nice because you can control who gets it. A lot of times the first responders want to get your med pay number, because the med pay insurance adjusters for all of the insurance companies will generally pay the first responders first, and they'll pay them full boat. They'll not discount in any way. So if they do get that med pay, you're losing out on using that money for your own deductible or for your own monies that you have out of pocket that you could use over time relating to your injuries. And so you want to keep that fairly close to the vest to begin with. And then after your initial maybe ambulance ride and ER visit and everything else, use those monies for other things that you, just like you would a regular savings account, because the nice thing is at the end, those monies that you've paid out, they cannot subrogate to anyone relating to those monies. And that means you get more money in your pocket when you get the thing settled, because you don't have to pay that money back, unlike health insurance or if you have to do medical expenses on a lien or anything else.
Sure. 303-806-8886 is Kevin's office number, 303-806-8886, fleshlawfirm.com, F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com. You're listening to The Legal Hour. We'll be right back.
Rates continue to drop. Have you taken advantage, or are you still waiting? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where all of our loans come with lower fees and low rates. You deserve it. Call 720-895-0500, where we have been serving Colorado since 2001. We are locally owned and operated. We know Colorado, and we know how to help. Have you tried to get a loan and been treated just like another number? Transferred from one person to another? Vague answers? Feel like no one is listening? Take AIM, where what you want matters. Respect and straight answers. And all with the same person from start to finish. Call 720-895-0500. We're the home of one of the fastest growing loans in Colorado, the Asset Management. manager. More Coloradans are switching to this loan than any other. Why? It allows you to pay thousands less in interest, have lower payments, access your equity for 30 years, and own your home in half the time. Find out why it could work for you. Affordable interest mortgage. Call 720-895-0500 now and keep more of your money. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
You will regret not seeking medical treatment. Take it from Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law.
Even small accidents sometimes create injury to human beings in the car. So I've had a number of cases where the amount of damage to the vehicle is $1,000 or less. And the people thought they were okay leaving the scene of the accident, but 2 or 3 days later, then they have the whiplash or they have the symptoms that were caused from the accident. And so you just want to make sure that you get good information when an accident happens.
Whether or not you feel like you need it, seek medical treatment immediately after an accident. Then call Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no obligation consultation. Call 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law, they get results.
Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got three convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all three locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number one in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
And we are back. You're listening to The Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. Again, it's Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. And as Kevin mentioned, it's a free consultation, folks, really on any legal topic that you need. Kevin can help you out in the criminal law area, personal injury area. Even, you know, Kevin, I know you've done some things with some folks, even looking at maybe lease agreements, partnerships. I mean, there's several other things that you can help people with.
Yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately, I've practiced long enough that we've done, I represent a number of businesses and business clients, and so we run into the leases and agreements and really just talking to people. If you have a question, a legal question that you just don't know what exactly is going on and you want to have some background, we can certainly help you with it. Certainly our focus is the personal injury and the criminal defense stuff. I actually saw a prior client yesterday that was a personal injury client in a criminal court, and she's like, I didn't even know you did this sort of work. And so it was good to see her, but it was also sad to see her in the felony court where she was at.
Right.
But she's going to call. So absolutely. We handle both. And really, we're trial lawyers, so we do a lot of litigation, and that has given us a really good background and experience, because we see what happens when things go sideways. Mm-hmm. And so, especially in the planning stages in the front end, if you have questions about that, we're really good to help you sort of issue spot and talk about what things you need to be concerned about,
right,
in any of those sorts of agreements.
And really knowing your attorney, like when we start out the conversation, you know, why I have an attorney, but you to mention a trial lawyer. I mean, there's a lot of folks that, you know, I know that don't really want to go to court.
Okay? Yeah.
They just want to do the kind of quick settlement.
Yep.
Get somebody paid and move on.
Yep, that's exactly right. And those,
that's okay. That's what they do. But
yeah, that's okay.
It's not the best thing for the client.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think. I think we have much better results because we, all of the insurance companies that we deal with know that we're going to end up trying a case in the event, mm-hmm, that they don't give us close to full value on the case, because we know that we'll be able to prevail at trial otherwise. And I actually had a case last week that we'll see what happens. It's exactly what the situation is. The insurance adjuster and the attorney kept making excuses relating to why they shouldn't pay my client the money that I think he rightfully deserves. And I think it's a case that we may end up trying, just because, unless they come around. But because they were making up things that I don't think six reasonable people are going to believe, the way that the accident happened and the fact that my client was really hurt, and they're not really giving him credit for that. And a good client. That's,
sure,
that's the hardest thing for me, is when you see someone that's really been affected by an accident and are being credible in what they're asking for. And they're not, you know, they're not asking for the $1 million for the hangnail sort of injury. And the insurance company treats them like they're a criminal, and that's really frustrating to me.
Sure.
And so those are the sorts of things that motivate us in representing folks, is making sure that they get taken care of all the way through, mm-hmm, the process.
Right. And we've talked about it before, but you build also a reputation in the courts with the judges,
yep,
and DAs, whatever the case
that's
may
correct
be, and the insurance companies. They know, hey,
yeah, we see
this guy
adjusters
messing around. He will exactly try this case.
It's so funny. And you think it's local, but I've got it. Like, I was talking to an insurance adjuster this morning from Owatonna, Minnesota, that evidently I've had a couple of cases with over the years, and she remembered our firm. And she's dealing with firms all over the nation, but we were able to have just a decent conversation and resolve a case this morning that I didn't think we were going to. But she knew that the last case that I had with her, we filed suit and we pursued it, because they didn't give us the money that they needed to right off the get-go. And so that was the conversation that we had, and she was able to get some more, you know, meaningful money for my client this morning, so that we were able to resolve it. So it's those sorts of things that we can help people with, that,
sure,
that you get done with cases hopefully a little bit sooner, but at the same time, we're willing to go to bat and go forward with litigation if we need to.
Right. One of the things I think people have to understand in this process, and it is a process, these things take time. I mean, especially if there's significant injury, but sometimes even if there's not, I mean, if there's just some injuries, it takes a while to let this work its course.
Yeah. So a lot of people will ask, and I think it's because there are billboards and other things around relating to what's your case worth so often. And so often you just don't know. And a lot of times, especially where you have serious bodily injury, you've got to let the body heal. And that just takes time. I mean, we see it in every other place that we have individuals doing sports, and you know, they have an injury, and they're out for 6 or 8 months or a year because of an injury. People in a personal injury case don't really think about that at the get-go, and so we're always willing to wait for that injury to complete all the healing, so that you're at 100% or as close as you can be, and we have a good sense of what your future needs are going to be,
right,
before we resolve the case. Because most people don't understand, it's interesting, because in 2003, we got rid of PIP coverage. And so anybody over the age of 40 may remember that. Anyone under the age of 40 probably doesn't know what that is. So I get less and less questions about this particular topic. But
Right. Anymore,
we're a tort state. And what that means is that we settle the case with the at-fault party once. That it's a total settlement, that it covers everything relating to the case, and that you have to resolve the subrogation interests and other things on the back end. But when you settle with that at-fault party, you can't come back later to say, oh, I need more medical, I need this, I need that. And that's what it used to be with the PIP.
Yep.
And so it was different. And I think people got accustomed to that. The younger folks have never had that experience, so it's not as important to them. But people have to understand, when they talk about what the value of the case is, you've got to develop that value through understanding what your injuries were and how you've reacted to them. Everybody reacts differently.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have cases that the the damage to the vehicles and the facts of how the accident happened are horrific. You know, maybe one person in the vehicle gets significantly injured, and the person sitting next to them gets very little.
Right.
It all depends on where you are in the accident. Well, that person that is significantly hurt is going to get a lot more money, most likely, than the person that wasn't. It's also going to take them a lot more time to get it figured out. And so those are the things that I always have conversations with the clients about, to set expectations of, listen, if your treatment takes 6 months or a year, you know, it's going to take us several months to get all the medical records in place. It's going to take the insurance company another month to decide what they're willing to pay us. So
it could be a year and a half or 18 months or 2 years.
Yeah. In a regular situation where you have, you know, you have 6 months of some chiropractic, physical therapy treatment, maybe an injection or two, and then you finally get better. And then we've got our work, and that's how long it takes. And it's not that it's because of volume or a firm. No, it just takes... Medical providers take a long time to get their records, especially Kaiser and a couple of other records providers. That just takes them a long time, months, with multiple calls to get these records.
Right.
And people don't recognize that that's the case. And I can see why people get frustrated because of all the different businesses that are involved in these cases that we have to coordinate to get everything over to the insurance company. And that's where we help, too.
Sure.
So that we have people understand, because if they don't know what they have to get, they may forget something that's a really big deal with regard to their future needs and the value of their case.
Right. Is one of the hard things is getting people to treat consistently. You may get that perfect client every once in a while that really goes through, but for the most part, that seems like a struggle for some people.
It's a struggle for everyone because our life is so busy. And quite frankly, with the amount of growth that the Front Range has had,
right,
it's harder to get around to places. So we're really having to work with our clients and their medical providers to make sure that we get them as close as possible to each other so that there's as little bit of movement back and forth, because especially in your normal whiplash situation where you have to go to the chiropractor two or three times a week for the first 4 weeks to get better, that's a lot of time driving back and forth. And if it's after hours or you're taking off time off of work, I mean, we understand it is a struggle for people to get it done, but that's really what you need to do, because if you don't, the insurance company gets to make excuses about why they don't have to pay because of all of those different gaps in treatment. And I just finished a case where the client had significant gaps, months at a time, where they didn't go. And it caused their case to be devalued, because after a while it looked like either the chiropractor was trying to milk the case for additional treatment, or the client really wasn't hurt, or they weren't following through with the good, reasonable medical opinions and what to do. And in those situations, it just gives them the opportunity to reduce the value of the case and say that not all the medical was necessary, or they weren't mitigating what's the legal term, mitigating their damages, in the sense that they didn't follow through with their treatment correctly.
Right. And I highly recommend they check with you on, because there's a lot of chiropractors around, but that does not necessarily make them a good auto accident chiropractor.
Yeah.
Because the documentation that these doctors need to do for you is huge.
It is, right? And they have to understand what exactly the trigger points are going to be relating to the defense. And so I don't have many chiropractors anymore that handwrite their notes. There are a few, but most of them are all electronics record keeping. So you can first read the note, because historically that was a problem. And then secondarily, a lot of the doctors need to understand sort of what I have to prove. And it's just educating them to make sure they understand that they have the things necessary in their medical records. They're not changing their medical records or embellishing anything. They just need to articulate it so that when the claims adjuster gets those records, they kind of check those boxes that they need to check. And a lot of times they're putting those records into a computer program, inputting certain data, so that computer program then spits out a number.
Right.
And some of the insurance companies are using that to determine what the claim's value is. And so you've got to have certain things in those records to really make a difference in the valuation process. And then third, it all depends on what your chiropractor is going to testify like. Lots of doctors out there don't want to ever see a courtroom. And so once they hear about the fact that it's a car accident that they're treating the person for, they get skittish too. And those are really difficult cases when I can't get the doctor to return my phone calls, or I have to subpoena records because they don't want to deal with it. And then I get, you know, I've had a number of doctors in the last 6 months that go out and get their own lawyer to deal with me directly. And when I'm talking with a lawyer that's really the lawyer for a treating physician, I've got some real concerns about what's going on, because it just looks like the doctor doesn't want to help his patient, his or her patient. And that's unfortunate. But they're a lot of times don't want to deal with the legal process.
All right. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. Again, Kevin's office number, 303-806-8886. And I always tell you this, put that in your phone, 303-806-8886. We'll be right back.
Trust your pet's care to Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hi, this is Scott Watley, and we've trusted our pets to Lone Tree for over 15 years. There are many reasons we love them, and it's great to have all of our pet care needs met under one roof. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, surgical care, boarding, grooming, or obedience training, the friendly and experienced staff at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. As accredited members of the American Animal Hospital Association, you can rest assured that Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center meets the highest standards of veterinary care. And they're a Gold Star member of the BBB and a member of HaystackHelp.com. Check out their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com as they share great insight on pet care. Lone Tree is open 7 days a week for your convenience. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Give them a call, 303-708-8050, or check them out at LoneTreeVet.com.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back. The last segment here with Kevin Flesch in our Legal Hour. Again, Kevin can help you out. So if you get into any legal situation, criminal law, personal injury side, give Kevin a call, 303-806-8886. Free consultation. So, Kevin, our last segment here, I thought we'd talk a little bit. Holidays are around the corner, and, man, a lot of different, you know, office parties, house parties, all these different things. Let's take the work folks that might be listening and the owners of companies right now. What's your advice for office parties and them providing alcohol at events or, you know, how does all that – how is that best for the company?
So this is the thing that I would suggest relating to companies, and certainly we do it too. We have a holiday party where we go out to a restaurant and people, and we supply alcohol and take care of you know, the employees like it. It's a good time. Everybody gets together. It's just a really fun event for the year, and my employees really look forward to it. But, you know, the biggest thing is any time that you have alcohol, you've drank alcohol or had marijuana or any other sort of drug in your system, is you've got to be concerned about driving, because you just never know what happens. had a call yesterday from a former client of mine that his daughter got into a car accident over the weekend. She had been down at a concert downtown, had had a few drinks, thought she was okay to drive, was driving home down Gun Club Road in Aurora on Saturday night, went through an intersection, and the person going the opposite direction did an illegal U-turn in front of her. She had her cruise on at 55 miles an hour. She was in the right to do everything she did, but when the person did the U-turn, she smacked that vehicle, rolled it. The person in the other car died.
Wow.
Changes your life.
Yeah.
Because the person hadn't died that night, but has subsequently died. Well, that night then, the state patrol gets involved. There's two cars, and so they start asking her about what was going on that night. And she said, well, I'd been out, concert, had a few drinks, ding, ding, ding. She then has to do voluntary roadside maneuvers, and she had to give blood results. You know, that's a case where she's real close to the, based upon the handheld breathalyzer, she's real close to the legal limit. Hmm. We don't know what the blood results are going to be back yet, but that's a case where you have just a regular DUI if she'd been pulled over. Now she's looking at a wrongful death case and some significant ramifications on her life. And so it can happen even when it's not your fault.
Right.
And I think the state patrol is going to find that the accident, that she could have done nothing differently had she been sober. Mm-hmm. But I think she's still going to be charged potentially with a felony relating to the wrongful death, or at least a DUI because of the contact that she had with someone else that caused the accident.
Sure.
So the thing, I bring this example up because everybody who has a drink at dinner or has a drink after work and then decides that they want to go home, remember this example when you get in the car and think that you're okay. Because even if you do everything right, you still may have a situation where something goes wrong and all of a sudden now you've got alcohol in your system. And the way that the legal system is these days, any alcohol, I know it's 0.05 is the legal limit for DWAI. That's probably, at dinner, that's probably two beers, maybe a glass and a half of wine, maybe two glasses of wine over an hour or so. But that's enough that causes you other legal trouble. And so my advice is for folks to get an Uber, get a Lyft, figure out ways to have other people driving, people that have had alcohol in these parties. You're just going to be better off. I know it's a little bit of an expense, but it's going to be a lot better than having to bail somebody out or having all of the, now this example that I had, this 20-something girl is just not sure where her life is going to go, and she probably won't know for months, and then it may be another year after that before mm-hmm. we figure it all out, and it's in the blink of an eye.
Right.
And it's the difference between her getting home safely. She would have been 5 minutes earlier, and it wouldn't have happened. She probably would have home safely. But for whatever reason, it was something occurred that night that made this happen, and now that's just part of her life story. And we don't know where it's going to go yet. And so those are the sorts of things that people need to be thinking about, especially during the holidays, because State Patrol and all the other law enforcement folks are out there. The heat is on.
Yeah.
We hear that all the time. Checkpoints and all of those things. It's just not worth it, especially in the metro area where we have so many resources available to all of us to safely get home. Because that's the important thing at the end of the day. You want to have a good time at the party, and you want to get safely home.
Right.
And not
hurt anyone.
So if
somebody comes to your house, and you serve, like I say, you got a bunch of people over, and you serve alcohol,
yeah.
or can that homeowner be held?
So the social host, yeah, there's a statute relating to the social host that person is not going to be held responsible for the actions. But, I mean, it's a reasonable thing to make sure that if you have a party like that you're taking care of people and that you're making reasonable accommodations, that you'll know people may get out of. I mean, you want to have a good time. So people
sure.
generally having a good time means they're not capable of driving, and you want to have some sort of plan. That's where people get into trouble, is when they don't have a plan. You always want to have a plan in those circumstances and make sure that the person, especially the person that clearly can't make decisions on their own, that you're helping them make
yeah.
those decisions.
And you usually can recognize that in a group pretty quick.
Pretty quickly. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yes, absolutely. There's lots of, I know everyone out there listening has had those situations. And when I talk to jurors about it, in jury selection, a lot of times in either the DUI cases or even in the personal injury cases where we have someone that's caused injuries because of alcohol related offenses, everybody seems to know what an impaired person looks and smells and sounds like.
Sure. You mentioned marijuana. you look at all this time since marijuana got legalized here and all the different steps it's taken down, the growth of that. I mean, there are certain areas of town, seems like there's more marijuana stores than Starbucks
yes.
around.
Starbucks.
Yeah. what have you seen in your practice, really, with the growth of the drug issue?
Yeah, it's really interesting because what we're seeing a lot of is an interaction between the marijuana and the alcohol. So you may have a person that smokes, I'll call them chronic smokers, so they're smoking every day. It's just part of their life. It's they figure it's legal. That's why they moved here. And so the problem with THC is it stays in your fatty blood cells. So even though they may not be impaired by the marijuana on that particular night, maybe they went out to a bar and had drinks too. But if the officer, based upon your statements or based upon how you're acting, or maybe you have a marijuana pipe in your car, thinks that there's multiple things going on with regard to what your intoxication level is, they're going to be asking for blood. And if they ask for blood and they see the THC levels are pretty high and you have a fairly, it can be a low BAC, but it's still over the legal limit, then you're in trouble because you're mixing those two intoxicants to the point where they're going to be able to more easily make the argument that you're impaired while driving. Right. And what it means for the defense is you're going to have to get not only a lawyer, but you're going to have to get an expert in the THC side of it to show that, hey, listen, this is what you're doing on a regular basis. The THC levels are high because of a daily consumption, and it's in your blood or in your fatty cells, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're impaired, but it means another $2,500 or $5,000 in costs to defend yourself where maybe you wouldn't have had to if you hadn't been drinking.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so we're seeing a lot of those sorts of cases. We're seeing cases where people are smoking in their cars, which is not legal, and that's a sure sign tip-off for an officer to pull you over. And it's just not smart. You just don't want to do it because everybody's on the lookout, and they're a moneymaker for all of the police and, and courts. So, I mean, there's certainly things that they're going to tell you that they're more concerned about rehabilitation for the person, but there's certainly the monetary. There's a whole industry relating to the other side of it, relating to the courts these days, and, right. and people are able to make a living at doing those sorts of things too.
Great.
Yep.
Well, Kevin, always great information. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. Again, put that in your phone, and Kevin will be glad to help you. Thank you for joining us today for the Legal Hour. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Mark Griffith coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.